Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Samach Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 8 lines from the top of Daf Samach Zayin, and in your Shas Ozer, you will notice 8 lines from the top, there is a diamond around the expression Le'ishtot Samirta. In our previous shiur, we started this series marking. As you can see, we're up to number 3. This diamond form in this sugya indicates names of different ailments or other phenomenon that the Gemara will suggest some type of remedy for. So this is, we also have a numbering system to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, number 3, because this is the third type of ishta ailment. Ishta having to do with something that seems to be heat-related. Feverishness or something else. The point we've made along the way in the number of the recent dapim is that many things require a translation, and Rashi is often offering a French word for that, leaving us with the difficulty of still trying to decipher what these things mean. So our attempt throughout these sugyas has been more or less to extract a principle other than focus on the literal meaning of many items. So we continue in our Gemara with this new problem. It's called the Ishtot Samirta, and Rashi says on this, Holi She Mechamemes V'Kodachas Saguf. It's an ailment that causes body heat. Certainly sounds like fever. So Le'ishtot Samirta, Lishkol Sakina Dekula Parzel. A person should take a knife that is entirely metallic. V'Lezel Lehecho De'iko Vardina. And he should go to a place where there is a bush known as a vardina, or Rashi says a sneh. The sneh may be familiar to many of you from the story with Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Shmos in his encounter with the burning bush. That's the sneh. So he should go to the sneh, the liktar be nira barka, and tie a thin hair thread to it. Yumakamo lichruk be porta. The first day he should make a small notch in it. V'leimo, and say the following pasuk, Vayero, Malach Hashem, Elov, V'chule, etc. L'mochar, the next day, Lichrok Bei Porta, make another small notch. V'leimo, Vayomer Moshe, Asura, No, Ve'e. And then say that pasuk, where Moshe says, I will draw near and see what this phenomenon is of the burning bush. L'mochar, Lichrok Bei Porta, the next day, makes another notch. V'leimo, Vayar Hashem, Kiso, Liros. And then you say that pasuk. All of these psukim are from the context of that story. Amar le Rav Acha brei de Rava le Rav Ashi. Rav Acha asks, "Valema, why not say this pasuk? Vayomer al tikrav halom," which would indicate, for our purposes, that this disease should not come near, should not draw near. In other words, indicating the distancing of that particular disease. So wouldn't this pasuk be appropriate? And in fact, it is. Ella. So here we have a second version of what to do with the Ishtot Samirta. Hence you see a Roman numeral number 2 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. Le'yuma kamo le'ma. The first day you say, Vayar malach Hashem, Vayero malach Hashem elov. And Vayomer Moshe. So that in the, according to the first version, these were two separate days, the recitation for two separate days. Here you combine them into one. Ula mochar lema vayar Hashem kisol lirois. This was in the first version. This was what would be said on the third day. Here we're saying it on the second day. And ula mochar vayomer al tikrav halom. Here we're incorporating Rav Acha's suggestion. V'chi posak le, and then when he cuts it, Litzi v'lifsik, he should cut low down on this bush, the lema hochi, and say the following incantation. And on the in the space in the right hand side of the Gemara text, we have written the word lachash. This is an incantation, and it lasts a number of lines. When we deal with incantations, we'll say now at the outset, because we're going to see a few of these, some of the words make sense, have meaning, we can try to translate them, and some of them will not. So, with that in mind, we continue here, and you say to the bush, Hasne Hasne, Lav Mishum de Gvias Mikol Ilni Ashri HaKodesh Baruch Hu Shchinte Aloch, not because you are the tallest of all trees, did the Almighty cause His divine presence to dwell upon you? Elo mishum de maiches mikol ilni ashri kuchubrichu shchinte aloch. Rather, because maiches means you're the lowly of all trees, thusly HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose you to have His divine presence dwell upon you. V'chihechi de chamisei eshto lechananya mishov azaya v'arikas min kadmohi. And just as chamisei has to do with seeing fire. So just as you saw fire in the case of Hanani Mishael Azariah, these were three great people thrown into a furnace by Nebuchadnezzar, and you ran from in front of them. Kach tachmine ishto leploni bar plonisa v'teruk min kadmohi. So too, you let the fire be seen of here the ploni is the infirmed individual, and he says his name and his mother's name, the Te'aruk Min Kadmoni, and run away from him. In other words, the fever should take a walk. In other words, to run away. So he should be relieved of his feverishness. The next ailment, L'simta. Simta, Rashi explains, is Shchin, which would be a type of abscess or boil. Lema Hochi, the following incantation. Again, here we have another long marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text indicating the length of this incantation. And this is an incantation where we're not going to really translate much of it. Rashi, in fact, says on the first words, Bazyeh, Rashi says, Ein lo mashmos, it doesn't have any meaning, elokach hu halachash, but rather this is the incantation. So we continue now in the Gemara. Baz Bazye, Mas Masye, Kas Kasye, Sharloi, Varmaloi, Ilin Malochei, the Ishtalchu Me'ara, the Stoim. These are, may very well be names of different angels that were sent from the land of stone. Ula So Shchino Ke'evin, and to heal the painful boils. Bozoch Bazyech, Bazbezech, Mas Masmech, Kamon Kamech, Einaich Bech, Einoch Bech. Rashi says on this, Einaich Bech, Mar Aich, Bech, Shelo Ta'adim Yoser. An indication that it shouldn't get redder than it is. Asrech, Boch, Zarech, Kikolut, Ukipreda. Rashi says Kikolut is Sheniklat Zaro Beshrire Bitno Shelo Yolid. This is a situation of the seed of the organism being absorbed in its stomach so that it doesn't produce offspring. And Ukepredo, Predo is a mule, Doloporo Veloravia, it doesn't procreate. Kach lo tifre velo sarbe begufe de ploni bar plonisa. So too, this ailment should not increase at all within the system of this individual. Ploni bar plonisa. Again, he says his name and his mother's name. Lekipa. Rashi has two explanations of what this is. Once again, Rashi uses a French word. The first one, Rashi says ababuo, some type of pox. The next shot that he gives is kipa, is someone who is overtaken by a demonic force. That's the expression kofa ala shade. So lekipa lemahochi, for this phenomenon you say the following, and again Rashi says lachash bi'amahu, it's an incantation. Cherev shlufa, the kela netusha, lo shmei yuchav chulin machoivin. That's the incantation. Lashida, Rashi doesn't explain this, but it might be from the word shade, which is a demon. Lema hochi, say the following incantation. Havis depokik depokik, havis lita tavur. Lita is mekulal, is to be cursed. Tavur, to be smashed. U mishumas. Mishumas might be something like a shamta, is to be excommunicated. Bartit Bartome Bartina. This is the name of the particular demon. Kishamgaz Mirigaz Viistamoi. So there's an incantation here which suggests the destruction and smashing of that particular demonic force. Lashido de Besakise, this is a demon of the bathroom. If it caused damage, Lema Hochi. Say the following. Akar kofi da'ari, on the head of a male lion, va'ausi de guraiso, and on the nose of a female lion, ashkachtun l'shidoi bar shiriko fando. This is the name of the shade, so that's where the shade, the demon, should go, the demon whose name is what we just read. B'mishra de karsi, mishra is a row of karsi, a type of vegetable creation. Chafte blua de chamro chatarte. I caused the falling of the jaw of a donkey that I smote. That too obviously is an incantation. Uvene melochim bezogin, and the Mishnah said that princes can go out with golden bells, and it said v'chol odom. And the expression v'chol odom indicates even someone who is impoverished has a right to wear this. Man Tana, who is the Tana that says that something that's of a regal nature is nevertheless fit for any Jew, even on the low economic rung. So we have two approaches. Number one, Omar of Oshaya, Rabbi Shimoni. This is a Mishnah in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. Damar kol Yisrael b'nei melochim heim. Rabbi Shimon, in a later perek in this Masechta, perek Shmoyne Shrotzim, Rabbi Shimon says that all of the Jews are considered B'nai Melochim, and therefore it's fitting for him to wear such a thing on Shabbos. Rava Omar, Rava says that the case of the golden bells is Be'orig B'ksuso V'divrei HaKol. It's woven into the garment, and therefore there's no fear of him slipping it off and showing it because it's woven in, and therefore Divrei HaKol means, and it's not only according to Reb Shimon, but everyone will agree that it's okay under such circumstances that it's woven into the garment. The Mishnah, Yoitzin Bebitzas HaChargol U'Bishen Shuol. One can go out on Shabbos with the egg of a chargol. A chargol is a type of locust. Ubashen shul, the tooth of a fox. Uve masmer min atzolov. Atzolov is a person that was sentenced to death by the government and was impaled on some type of post. And this Mishnah makes reference to a nail from that impalement. One can wear that out on Shabbos. Mishum rufua, the very Rabbi Meir. Because as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, these are examples of things that provide provide a remedy. V'chachomim osrin af b'chol mishum darkei ha'amori. The Chachomim say that you cannot wear any of these items out even during the weekday because it is characteristic of the ways of the Amorites. The Amorites were literally or specifically a nation that lived in Israel before the conquest of the land at the time of Yeshua, but it's more of a generic term for idolatrous nations and their let's say questionable ways. Darkei Amori is something that's in the general realm of black magic possibly. The pasuk says, "V'chukisem lo seilechu," don't follow their ways. The Gemara makes a point, though, that Darkei Amori is something that's distinct from actual idol worship. So, bearing that in mind, it nevertheless is prohibited in the Torah. If something is classified as Darkei Amori, it comes under the heading of Uvuch Koseim, and in their ways, Lo Selechu, do not follow. The Gemara. Yoitzin Bebitzas Chago, one would wear this the egg of this locust, the Avdi L'shichala, it's done for ear aches. One would wear this in his ear, or attached to his ear. Ubashen Shashual, a fox's tooth, the Avdi L'shinsa, it's made for sleep problems. In other words, one would wear this because of sleeping problems. Now, sleeping problems can manifest themselves in two extremes. He's either insomniac or overly tired, overly sleepy. So, dechaya, the tooth extracted from a live fox, is used leman denayim, one who is finds himself sleeping too much. So that you, just like the tooth is from that one which is alive and awake, so too this is a solution for someone who needs to be awake. The misa from a dead fox, that is useful leman delonayim, someone who is insomniac. Uvemasmer shel tzolov, the nail from the impalement, the avdi lezirfa, this is used for someone that has inflammation. Mishum refua, divrei Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir has said that these things are allowed to be worn because they have a refua capacity, they have a healing capacity. Abaye v'Rava, Amri Travayu. Abaye and Rava agree, they both say, kol dover sheish bo mishum refua, ein bo mishum darkei amori. Anything that has a refua capacity, something that heals. Rashi adds very, very importantly toward the end of the narrow line, Shesh bo refua, shenir es refua, so that you can see a relationship between what is being done and the outcome. Kagon, shtias kois, v'tachboishes maka, like the drinking of different medicines and bandages, those are things that are refua. There's a relationship between that which you are drinking and the outcome. In other words, the medicine that you're drinking and the bandage with the different salves that may be on it. Uparchinon, and the Gemara then asks, and we're about to ask that when we get to the Gemara, ha'ein bo, but if you don't see a relationship, kagon lachash, like incantations, she'ein nikrishi, ei marpe, yesh bo mishum dakimori, b'tmiha. And let's continue now in the Gemara. From Abaye and Rava's comment, it leaves room to infer. Ha ein bo mishum refua. However, are you telling me then that something that doesn't have this this recognizable cause and effect relationship will yesh bo mishum darkei amori? And what is something like that? Well, something like we mentioned incantations or other procedures that don't seem to have a cause and effect relationship with regard to the ailment. Are they forbidden? Tanya. Well, we raise a question. Here we're going to see something that at first glance doesn't seem to have a cause of an effect relationship, and yet it's allowed. The source says, Elon Shemeshu Peroisov, a tree that sheds its fruits before they ripen. It casts off its fruits. Sokro Besikro, you paint it with a red dye. V'toano v'avonim, or load up stones on the bottom of the tree, around the roots of the tree. And as we said, this is something that one should do. And where's the Gemara goes on and explains, Bishlam otano v'avonim, I understand that case of loading up the bottom of the tree, the root area, with stones. The pressure of the stones will divert the strength of the tree to, support the stones. This will weaken the tree, and hence it won't be so quick to cast off its fruits. So there is a type of cause and effect relationship, and we can understand why that's allowed. Ela sokro besikro my refuah kovid, but painting a tree red, remedy is involved here. So it would leave us to think that it seems to be some type of magic that's being done, and yet it is allowed. The Gemara says, no, there's no magic here. The painting of it red is very simple. It's very simple to explain. Kihechi delechsi inshi. It's a means of drawing people's attention to the tree as a tree having a problem. Velivu ala rachami, and people will pray for the tree's health, and of course for the owner to benefit from its fruit production. So it's just a means of arousing public awareness to pray, and prayer is certainly something very, very desirable. Kidisanyan, we have a precedent for this, the idea of drawing attention so that the public shall pray. And this source comes from the realm of Negoyim, from the realm of Tzoraz. And Kidisanyo, as it says, V'tome tome yikra, the Metzora shall proclaim, shall call out that he is suffering. Tzorch lehudia tzar l'rabim, he has to let his pain, his suffering, be known to the public. V'rabim yivakshu olav rachamim, and the public will pray for his benefit. And as we said, this is what the red paint on the tree will accomplish for the tree, arousing the public's awareness of the problem and their subsequent prayer. Omar Ravino, keman talinon kuvsi bediklo. Based on whom do we practice this? Suspending talina, to suspend a cluster of dates on a tree, on a palm, date palm that sheds its fruits prematurely. So the question is, based on whom is that done? Ki hai tano, like this tano, the Tanaic source we just read. The suspended date cluster is another means of drawing the public's attention to the problem, and of course the subsequent prayer. Toni tano beperek emoroi kamei derebchia bar oven. There was a person saying over that was teaching or reciting the Tanaic sources, which is part of the Tosefta, the Brisos of Maseches Shabbos, and within the Brisos of Maseches Shabbos there is a perek emoroi. That means it's a perek of Darkei Emori. You can call it Hilchus Darkei Emori. So this was this individual, the Tano, the Toni Tano, means this person was knowledgeable of these sources, was reciting the sources in front of Reb Chiya. Omar Leis, Reb Chiya says, Kulhu is behu mishum Darkei Emori levad mehani. All the things that are listed in that perek of Maseches Shabbos called of the perek of Maseches Shabbos, the brisis of Maseches Shabbos that we call the perek Darkei Emori, all of them, all of the different procedures are forbidden. They are problematic. They're called Darkei Emori, and we say that's forbidden under the prohibition of Hukoseim Lo Seilechu, with the exception of two. And they are as follows. Number one, Mishi Yeshlo Etzem Begrono. Now, when we say with the exception of two, it means the following two things that we're going to learn, and they're numbered in our Gemaras 1 and 2 at the bottom line. You see number 2. These are procedures that are allowed. So it's as follows. Mishi Yeshlo Etzem Begrono. Someone who has a bone stuck in his throat. Mevi Me'oisa Min. He will bring something of that, of whatever it is. If it's a chicken bone, so you bring a chicken. Umaniach le al kodkodo, and in my example would be the chicken, you put it on his head. The lemo hochi, and say the following. Chad nochis. Now, Rashi points out, chad chanos, this is a lachash, this is an incantation. Nochis literally is to go down. Bola bola nochis chad chad. So this is the incantation, and ein bo mishum darkei emori. And doing this is not a problem. Once again, here this is a topic that's way beyond our purview of knowledge. But one would have to ask himself the obvious question, and we're not giving an answer. But we mentioned before, according to Abaye and Rava, at least, if it doesn't have some kind of obvious cause and effect relationship, it would be forbidden. Apparently here there is something that is we'll have to say more obvious than the other things, and it is allowed. What it is, that is, I am not privy to understanding. Nevertheless, we continue in the Gemara. La'adra is a fish. In this case, it's a fish bone that's stuck in someone's esophagus. Lema hochi. nin atzto kemachat, nin alto kitris, shai, shai. The translation of this would be, you're wedged in like a needle, and you're locked like a shield, or a shutter. Shai, shai is go down, go down. In other words, the idea of the bone getting dislodged. We turn to Omid Beis, and you can see that we have a Tanaic source that we've put in a large frame. This source contains what most likely we were referring to just now about the Perek Darkei Ha'Emori, a Tanaic source that has many examples of things that are forbidden because of Darkei Ha'Emori. And with our markings, you can see quite a few triangles appear. Each one of these triangles introduces a new procedure that is usur to do. Ha'omer, Gad Gidi Usnuk Lo Ashki Ubushri, someone who says that, he's saying this so that he shouldn't become tired. The term Gad Gidi, Rashi says, his mazel mazali, that my good fortune should strike so that I don't become tired. Lo ashki is not by day nor by night. Well, anyone who says that, yesh bo mishum darkei ha'emori, that is a problem of darkei ha'emori. Rabbi Yudomer, good, in what he was saying here, God gedi, that word good, eino elo loshen avodah zarah. Ironically, in the English pronunciation of that word, it has just the opposite effect, if you will. It's the well-known word referring to the Almighty. But in Hebrew, the word good is eino elo loshen avodah zarah. It's a reference to idolatry. Shenemar ha'orchim legad shulchan. This pasuk means they set up to God. God was an idol. They set up a table for that idol. According to Rav Yehuda, therefore, one who says this is not guilty of v'chukisim le'selechu, but rather is guilty of a different offense, and that is not to mention the names of idols. And that's something that Rashi points out. We continue in the examples. Donu Doni, someone who says that means Doni are barrels. So he's saying that he wants his barrels to be strengthened. Yesh bo mishum darkei ha'emori. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ain don elo loshon avodah zarah. The word don is also an indication of avodah zarah. It's a name of an avodah zarah. Shenemar hanishboim ba'ashmas shomram v'omru chai elohecho don. And it's at this point that Rashi says he's for doing this. It's not a problem of darkei ha'emori, but rather it's korei b'shem avodas gelulim. He's using the name of and the pasuk actually says b'shem Elohim achrim lo saskiru, that one should not mention the names of idols. And certainly if he's appealing to the idol, all the more so a problem. Ha'oimer la'oirev, one who says to an orev is a type of bird. Many times it's translated as a raven, and he says to the bird, tzrach la'urvesa shriki v'achziri li znovech l'toiva. So yesh bo mishum darkei ha'emori. Rashi explains on this. One says to an orev, this bird tzrach means when the bird is calling out, is crowing. He says tzrach. That is something not to do. And likewise, the urvasa could very well be the female orev bird. He says shriki v'achziri li znovech l'toivo. That is not to be done. Yesh bo mishum darkei ha'emori. Ha'omer shachatu tarnegol ze shekora arvis v'tarnegolus shekora gavris. Yesh bo mishum darkei ha'emori. One who says shachtu tarnagol ze, that's slaughter this rooster because it called arvis. There are two pshatim Rashi has here. It's a rooster that called out too late. In other words, usually the roosters start cackling early in the morning. This one started its calling later. Another pshat that Rashi gives, the one that he prefers, is that it's a rooster that sounded like an orev, arvis, from the word orev. So one who says slaughter this rooster who sounds strange, or a chicken, a tarnagolis, shikora garvis, means a chicken that sounded like a rooster. Someone who does that, who says that, is yeshbo mishum darki amori. Continuing, eshte v'osir, yeshbo mishum darki amori. One who says, I'll drink and leave over wine in order to increase my wine, that is not to be done. Hamivakas beitzim b'koisel. Bifnei ho'efroichim, yeshbo mishum darki amori. This is someone depending on the girsa that you have, either he smashes or he inserts eggshells from eggs that were recently hatched, and the chicks left the egg, and the chicks are there, and you take the shells from those eggs and smash them or insert them into the wall, with the idea being that this will prolong the life of the chicks so that they shouldn't die. Anyway, that is Darkei Amori. Hamegis bifnei afroichim, yeshbo mishum Darkei Amori. Megis is someone who stirs a pot. One who stirs a pot in front of chicks is guilty of Darkei Amori. Hamrakedis. Mekedis is to dance. Vahamoyne shivim ve'echod afroichim, b'shvil shaloya musu, yeshbo mishum darkei ho'emori. Someone who dances and counts 71 chicks in order to preserve them from save them from dying, that is prohibited as darkei ho'emori. Hamra kedis lekusach. Kusach is a type of dish. It's a dish made of bread and milk that sours. It's usually used as a dip. So someone who dances in front of the kusach, so that and their intention is that it should get stronger, I guess more pungent. Vaha mashtekes ladoshim. That means that when she's cooking adoshim often are translated as lentils, she silences all those present. Vamatzavachas legrisin, one who screams at grisin, another type of legume. Yesh bo mishum darkei amori. Hamashtenis bifnei kederoso b'shvil shetisbasho mehera. Someone who urinates in front of a pot so as to hasten the cooking, that is darkei amori. Avol, however, noisnim, one can put into a pot one kesam shel tut. A kesam is a little splinter or piece of wood of a tut. The tut is a type of a plant. Uveshivrei zuchuchis bekedera, or broken glass in a pot, b'shvil shetisbasho mehera, that one can do. So one can put the kesam shel tut or broken glass in a pot, which will cause it to cook faster. V'chachomim osrim b'shivrei zuchuchis b'tnei hasakona. Chomim say that it might be true that the broken glass will hasten the cooking, but you're not allowed to do it because of the danger factor. The danger obviously being someone might end up eating and swallowing broken glass. Tonu rabbonan, noisnin bul shel melach l'so chaner. One can take a clump of salt, a bul, Rashi says, is a fistful of salt, and put it in a lantern with an oil lamp, so as to improve the quality of the flame. And this is not a Darkei Amori problem, and rather it can be explained. The salt will draw any debris that may be in the oil, so that the oil that reaches the wick will be a very clear type of oil, and absorbed by the wick all the better. So it improves the quality of the flame. So that's allowed. V'noisnim tit v'charoses tachas aner b'shvil shetamtin v'tadlik. And one can put some clay, and charosis is a shard in an oil lamp. What it does is it cools it off. He places it under the oil lamp, and it cools. It reduces the heat of the oil, and the cooler the oil, the longer the lamp will burn. That's tamtin, is to delay and burn. In other words, it'll burn longer. Omar Rav Zutra, Haiman de Michsi Shraga de Mashcha, one who covers an oil lamp, Umagli Nefta, and exposes a neft. Neft is another type of fuel, and he exposes the neft lamp, Ka'ovar Mishum Bal Tashkis. He is guilty of ruination. In other words, the oil lamp that's covered, it will burn faster. And it's simple. It's simply a waste. You're not improving anything. It's just you're causing it to burn out faster. And the same is the case with exposing the neft lamp. You're causing it to burn out much faster. So that's just wanton destruction. That's Baal Tashas, the command not to destroy things that are useful. We continue. Chamro v'chai l'fum rabbanon, someone who is, we could say in a loose parallel, someone who's making a lachayim. Chamro is wine. So one who is taking when he pours wine and gives the cup of wine to someone, and he says this. He says, "Chamro v'chai, wine and life to the mouths of the rabbanon." Ain bo mishum darkia mori. Rashi points out it's a brocha. He's simply making a brocha, like as we said before, like picking up a cup of wine and saying l'chaim. In fact, here you see possibly the root of that practice. Here the source uses the word chay, like chayim, l'chaim. Ma'aser Rabbi Kiva shosa mishta lifnoi. Rabbi Kiva made a wedding for his son. V'al kol kois v'kois shehevi on, and each cup that he brought, Omar, chamro v'chaye l'fum rabbonon, chaye v'chamro, he switches the order here, and l'fum rabbonon, u'l'fum talmidehon, to the mouths of the rabbonon and to their students. And as we said, this is a brocha, and it's okay to say it. That completes the sixth parak of Shabbos, and now we turn our attention to the seventh parak of Shabbos. This seventh parak of Shabbos can be seen as divided into maybe two parts, where there's certain general rules of Shabbos with regard to one who violates Shabbos, and when is there a need to bring a sacrifice and how many sacrifices will be brought. That will occupy the first half of this perek, and then the second half of the perek from Daf Ayin Gimel, there is the famous Mishnah which lists the 39 Avos Melachos, the forbidden creative activities as far as Shabbos is concerned. The perek begins, Klal Godol Omru B'Shabbos. A major rule is said with regard to Shabbos. Now the Gemara will ask, why does the Mishnah use the word Godol when it could have just as well say Klal Omru B'Shabbos? The following rule or rules are said with regard to Shabbos, and the Gemara will deal with that. Nevertheless, we have broken the Mishnah down into several parts. You can see we've numbered them into 1, 2, and 3. And as we said, violation of Shabbos can take place because of all kinds of different situations. Another major point we should make before going any further is that a sacrifice, a sin offering, is brought only when a violation takes place unknowingly or unwittingly, b'shogeg, where there is some type of oversight or forgetting of something. A person who deliberately, who knowingly violates, doesn't bring a sacrifice. So we continue in the Mishnah. Kol ha-shocheach ifir Shabbos. Someone who simply doesn't know that the Torah contains any commands regarding Shabbos. So someone like that, v'osa melochos harbe b'shabosos harbe, and he goes ahead and performs many melachos over the course of many Shabbosos. Eino chayav elo chatas achas. He will be eventually, when he's informed, you've been violating all of these Shabbosos and all these melachos, he will be expected to bring one korban, one sin offering, and that will cover all of these violations. because as far as we are concerned, there's only one shgoga here. There's only one act of mistake or oversight, and that is he was not aware of Shabbos. The Mishnah continues, Hayodea Iker Shabbos. This is a person that knows that the Torah warns against Shabbos and that it is a day that has a melacha prohibition. He's aware of the institution of Shabbos. The Osa Melachos Harbe B'Shabbosos Harbe. And over the course of many Shabbosos, he does many melachos. So we have to mention this individual is aware. In other words, he's intellectually aware of the existence of Shabbos, which is a day that also has melacha prohibition. But what happens is when each Shabbos comes about, he is not aware. He's not aware that it is that today is Shabbos. So we say as follows: Chayav al kol Shabbos v'Shabbos. He will have to bring a sin offering per number of Shabbosos that went by. Let us take a look at the Rashi on the last narrow line where the Dibur Maskil is of the Osa Melachos Harbe B'Shabbosos Harbe Al Yedei Shigigas Shabbos. His violation was because he wasn't aware that it was Shabbos. Shoha Shabbos Yom. He forgot that today is Shabbos, and that happened every week. He forgot that today is the Shabbos day. Midikotoni Seifa, and we know that that's the pshat here because in the Seifa the Mishnah describes Hayodei Shuhu Shabbos. That's someone else. It's a different case. It's the third case, which we haven't learned yet, is someone who knows that today is Shabbos, Michlal de Reisha. But the Ein Yodei Shu Shabbos, it must be that this case, number two, is a case where he's not aware that today is Shabbos. The Osam Lochus Harbi, Shosus Harbi, the Inyan Zev, Lonodelo Ben Taim Shechota. And he continued every week, not aware that that given Shabbos was Shabbos, doing a whole host of Melochus on each one of those Shabboses. The Rashi goes on, Chayav al kol Shabbos Shabbos, Chatas achas l'chol Shabbos. He's Chayav, he's obligated to bring one sin offering per Shabbos. V'af al pi shelo noda lo b'intayim. Even though, as the week went by, he did not become aware that, oh, a Shabbos passed and I did molochus, so that it's one straight, long string of unawareness. The helam echod hu, helam means something hidden, something forgotten. And if you have something like that, ordinarily you would say if multiple offenses took place, but in one state of lack of awareness, without a discovery taking place in the interim, it's just one long singular shogeg. If that were the case, so then he would bring only one korban chatas, and yet here we're saying he brings for each Shabbos that in effect went by. Well, we say Amrinon, we say the following rule. Yomim shebeintayim havyon yediyah lechalek. The mere fact that there was a passage of time, the days between each Shabbos, that causes it or makes it such legally that there is awareness. In other words, he wasn't aware. He didn't become aware that Shabbos went by, but halachically, legally, we say it's tantamount to an awareness. It's impossible that someone under normal circumstances would not have known that a Shabbos went by. Elo shelo nizkar lo b'malacha shenasu bo. But he's not aware of the malachas that he did. Ushgogo kamaiso mishum Shabbos hu dahavoi. The original shgogo, the primary shgoga in this case is his not being aware that it was a Shabbos. V'hoisyad lebeni beni, and because of the passage of time, we say there was awareness of the past Shabbos having gone by. Hilko kochado Shabbos chado shgoga. Therefore, each Shabbos that goes by is a separate shgoga, separate unawareness. And as a result of that, for each Shabbos, a separate chatos is brought. Omihu, however, al harbe melachos shebechol Shabbos, but regarding the multiple melachos that he did on each Shabbos, lo mechayev elochado, that the fact that he did many malachas, that doesn't increase the number of sin offerings. The Kula Shabbos, Shchada, Shgoga, the entire Shabbos is a singular unit of shogeg, and all the malachas are lumped together in under this one Shgoga heading. The Halo Shogaga malachas, he wasn't considered a shogeg regarding the malachas, the Odeah Hushim malachas Asuros. This is a person that knows what the malachas are. Elosh Ashabas Hu Deshogag. His problem was that he wasn't aware that it was Shabbos. And as we said before, a violation that's done with an element of awareness, of Yediyah, that doesn't generate a sacrifice. So this person's problem is that he wasn't aware that it was a Shabbos when he was doing those malachas. So the Shabbos shkoga, the lack of awareness of it being Shabbos, is that which generates the need for a korban, and each Shabbos a singular korban will suffice. That means for each and every Shabbos one additional korban is necessary. We continue in the Mishnah. Hayodea shuhu Shabbos. A person knows that today is Shabbos, but he's not aware of which malachas are forbidden. The osa malachas harbe b'shabbos is harbe, and he did many malachas over the course of many Shabboses. So that on any given Shabbos, he is aware that today is Shabbos. He just doesn't the shgoga element, the oversight, the forgetting element, is not a forgetting of it being Saturday, of it being Shabbos. What his shgoga here is regarding the malachos, the actual activities. And the result of that is chayov al kol av malacha u'malacha. He is guilty for a separate korban chatos for each malacha that he violated. Now let us glance at the Rashi. Hayodea shu Shabbos ve'osu malachos harbe shelo yoda shamlochos halolo asuros. He was not aware of these particular malachos forbidden activities as being forbidden. Ve'asom kama pomim kama shabbosos, and he did each malacha many times over many shabbosos. Chayav al kol av malacha chatos achas. For each primary malacha that he did, whether he sowed or he cooked or he plowed or he harvested, each one of those is a separate malacha. V'yafalpi shechozer v'kofla v'kama shabbosis, even though he repeated these, he cooked up he cooked up a soup. Over the course of many weeks, each Shabbos he cooked up a new soup, but he wasn't aware that cooking is a prohibited activity. Kulo chadash gogahi, the act of cooking, even though he did the cooking multiple times, it's one long cooking shgoga. The holo noda lo beintayim, he didn't discover in the interim that cooking is prohibited. Now, notice this word, beintayim. We saw this a few lines up with regard to yomim shebeintayim. So here Rashi makes a distinction. Le'inin shigigas Shabbos, hu de'iko le'meimar yomim shebeintayim havyedil chalek. Regarding the forgetting of the day, we say that the passage of days between each week, between each Shabbos of each week, constitutes an element of awareness. And when you have an element of awareness between forgettings, it cuts each forgetting off from the next one, generating a separate sacrifice requirement. So that concept of yomim shebeintayim havidil chayk, that applies to the awareness of it being a Shabbos. Aval inyan shigigas malachas. But as far as the forgetting or the lack of awareness of a malacha, lo omru hachi, this principle is not applied. The mishum hefsik yomim ein lo lodas elim ken yoshev osak lefnei chachom b'chus Shabbos. The mere passage of time is not something that is expected to generate awareness of what constitutes a malacha. How does one become aware of what is a malacha? only the sitting in front of a sage and studying the topic will create this awareness and knowledge. Umihu, bechatos achas lo miftar al kol Shabbos, to say that this person who did many molochas over many Shabboses, to say that one chatos will cover the multiple molochas for each Shabbos, that we cannot say. The shkogolav b'Shabbos havia, his forgetting or his lack of knowledge was not regarding the it being a Saturday, being a Shabbos. The Mishnah said clearly he knew today was Shabbos. Elo b'molochus u'shgogas tuvahavu. His shgoga, his lack of awareness was with regard to the activities. And as far as the activities, you have many activities that he violated. And let's read that again. Ushkogos tuvahavu l'Shabbos achas. There are many shkogos on with regard to the Shabbos. And Rashi goes on to say that this concept of a Shabbos being atoned for by one korban chatos or by multiple korban chatos is all derived from psukim, and that is something that we'll be focused on in the upcoming Dapim. We continue on the top of Samaches Omer Aleph. Ha'oisim molochus harbe me'ein molocha achas, eino chayov elo chatos achas. The Mishnah here is referring to something that maybe some of you are familiar with. There's something called ovos and toldos. Toldos are, technically speaking, they're derivatives of a primary av molocha. So that if there is if there's a prohibition of planting things, the prohibition, the av malacha of Zorea, will include things that promote growth. For example, watering plants. So that even though you're not involved in inserting a sapling into the ground or a seed into the ground, which would be Zorea. In the case of a tree, it's called Notea, but you are promoting its growth by watering it. So that would be the tolda. So the Mishnah is saying if one does many toldos, that's molochas harbi me'ein molocha achas, many toldos of one molocha. So in the case of a zorea, of planting seeds, toldos may include things like watering the plants, fertilizing them, pruning trees. All of these things promote growth. So if one does all of those, of course, in one state of lack of awareness, even though he's done many activities, but since they come under the heading of one primary av molocha, he's obligated to bring only one sin offering. This is in distinction to someone who does multiple avos. If someone plants and he cooks and he sows, that's S-E-W-S, and he sews clothing, that would generate three separate ovos molochos and three separate chatos if he was unaware of each one. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.